Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And each week, we bring you powerful insights and mental hacks to level up your daily life. But today, we're pulling back the curtain a bit. We usually talk about the things you can do to handle the challenges of your life, like we've already done affirmations, creative visualization, things like that. But we believe that sharing with you a little bit about what we do to handle what's going on in our own lives could also be helpful. So grab your coffee or tea, your favorite beverage. With that in mind, I'll throw it over to my brother, Peter. Peter, what do you think? What's going on in your life?
Well, you know, I always look forward to spending this time with you and Frank and our listeners and viewers. So what's been going on in my life recently? Well, it's been pretty much a series of cliffhangers. My mother died, and that left me caught between being able to exhale because we were holding on, hoping that she would pass before the pain from her cancer became too much. And at the same time, leaving me unable to catch my breath, take a new breath in, because it's such a loss in my life that it's like being punched in the gut when you just can't breathe again. And I am fortunate to have a good support system, which includes Rick and Frank, as I process my grief. My sister asked me to write the eulogy and give the eulogy at the funeral because apparently I have the most experience talking in front of people, but let me share something with you. Nothing can compare or prepare you writing and giving a eulogy for your mother. I mean, how do I do her justice? How do I say just what each member of the family who's there needs to hear? And how do I get through the whole thing without breaking down and crying? And the funeral's in a small village in Canada. I live in the US. The borders are closed because of COVID. They just turn people away when you arrive there. So I had to apply to the Canadian government for a compassionate exemption to be allowed in for the funeral. But before I could do that, though, I had to send government forms to my sister and brother-in-law's residence, where I would quarantine, and the church, to the priest there, the local priest, where the funeral mass would be held. Now, the government wants them to take responsibility for making sure I don't give anyone in Canada COVID. And although the funeral date is set and published, I can't be sure that I'll make it up there in time. Before I could even apply for the compassionate exemption, I had to get those forms back from my sister in the church. And while my sister and brother-in-law understood what was going on, the local priest was a little perplexed with exactly what he was being asked to agree to. Well, I finally got those forms and attached them to the application for compassionate exemption with the date we'd be entering Canada, my wife and I, and sent them out. I had to send a complete set for myself and then a second complete application, completely separate, with the forms for my wife. And having committed to the date that we would enter Canada, we had to schedule COVID-19 tests for no more than 72 hours before we arrive at the border, another Canadian government requirement. And this is tricky because those tests, the PCR tests, have to be sent to a lab. And some of the clinics were saying, well, it might take 4 or 5 days. And then, of course, they're not valid to the Canadian government. If we don't get the results back in time, they aren't any use. We have to choose a later date. We have to redo them. And if we do get them back in time, but we don't get the compassionate entry approval, we have to redo them because they'll be old. And if you're wondering, yes, we had our vaccines way back in March, but Canada still wants us to have that test before we get to the border. And as soon as we cross the border, they want us to have another test. So I have been, and I am, in a constant state of waiting to see if a thing works out, and if I'll get that thing in time, to see if the next thing will work out, if I can get that thing in time. And then on top of it all, I got, well, I don't really know what it was, dizziness, headache, stomach flu. So there was another thing. Am I going to be well enough to drive the 8-hour trip to Canada and look healthy enough to get through the border? So why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this? I'm sharing it with you for two reasons. You should know that Rick and Frank and myself, our lives can be a shitstorm at times too. Maybe not as bad as what you're going through right now, but you get the idea, bad enough. And you should know that we don't just prescribe to people ways to improve their lives or something. We use them. I use mindfulness pathfinding, not because I think it's cool and that, but because it works. Not because it's based on research, science backed, I think is the current phrase. But all that stuff doesn't mean anything if it doesn't work for you when your life is like a quagmire and you feel like you're sinking fast. I just use it because it's the simplest, easiest, most effective way to level up my life and provide me with the most fulfilling path forward. The first thing you should know is the stress comes from you. It comes from inside, not from what's happening. And if me saying that gets you jumping up and saying, no, it comes from what happened, not from what inside, it's from what's happening. I get it. But if you tell a stranger all the challenges you have, especially if it's a guy, he'll calmly explain how to solve your problems. It won't stress him a bit. The problem is that your brain is going, oh, shit, I don't know how I can handle this. And so that's who I talk to, my brain. I call it pilot, who's freaking out. And I say, I get where you're coming from. It's not your job to figure this out, because there's a deeper, better informed part of you that's always working out your best path forward. In psychological terms, this would be the non-conscious mind. In more spiritual terms, you might call it your inner self, your higher self. I call it my pathfinder. So I say to my brain, what happens? What comes up if we just ask Pathfinder, how can we maximize fulfillment here? And because your brain is always curious, and that's why you're always flipping on to the next thing in your phone, he stops freaking out just for a moment to have a look. And then, since this is the way our brain and non-conscious mind are meant to function with each other, he begins to get all that guidance that Pathfinder has been streaming to him, which in real life terms means that my brain calmed down and was able, because of that, to see that there were acceptable, workable contingency plans for all of my dilemmas. And as my brain relaxed, I got the collateral benefits. My flu is flown, and I believe that turning down stress certainly helped my immune system deal with the flu. I woke up, I wrote the eulogy in one sitting, got approval from my sister and brother-in-law right away. The compassionate entry approvals arrived just last evening. So all that's left is getting the COVID test today and getting the results in time for our planned Sunday departure. But most importantly, by using the very thing that I'm recommending to you, I began to turn down the volume of my stress and turn up the volume of fulfillment in my daily life right now, today. Rick, back to you.
Beautiful. Wow. Peter, first let us say publicly how sorry we are about your mom's passing. But what a beautiful journey you all took to honor her and then, you know, continue with this travel plan. So great, great insight. Frank? Let's hear what you have to say. What's going on in your world, Brother Frank?
Yes, thank you, Rick. Peter, again, my condolences. I think it's a turning point in your life. My mother passed away 13 years ago. I didn't at that time had all the COVID trouble, but I, as eldest son, I had to stand on the stage and to address a large audience there and to tell something, truthful, but also make it somehow a little bit funny. My mother was a very particular person, and there were many funny stories to tell. There's the moment the audience began to laugh, then you see the smiles coming and a different energy is flowing. Nevertheless, thank you for sharing that. What's interesting is looking at COVID, how COVID is intervening in our life. And when COVID started here in the Netherlands, actually, I lost a lot of contracts. My client said, sorry, Frank, we don't know how this works out and so on. So while I had a great portfolio, within 14 days, all my assignments were gone. So what's happening here? And well, it came a kind of silence in myself, but at the same time, some worry kicked in. And recently I found an interesting quote, which I want to share with you. And the quote is as follows. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. And the realist adjusts the sails. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. And the realist adjusts the sails. A quote from writer William Arthur Ward. Am I a pessimist? Well, I'm not a pessimist, but I became pessimistic. Well, my job is to to deal with change, and I call myself a change facilitator. How much did I expect to be an optimist? Were things going to change for the better or for the worse? Well, everybody remembers the fact that actually no one in the world knew where this all would end up. So also I was thinking, what the heck is happening? Did I panic? No, I did not panic. But I became very worried. Worried about the future. Worried because I had no income anymore. Of course, I had some savings, like everybody else probably has some savings. And so I had to figure out how to deal with life. And at this moment, at that moment, when I was looking at this quote, I remembered that I had to adjust the sails to see where the wind is coming from. And actually, what happened to me is that I found some kind of inner peace. And a voice in myself said, Frank, can you look upon COVID as a master teacher? A master teacher. I didn't thought about it. Nobody said it to me, but that it popped into my mind. A master teacher. What is here to learn, to discover about myself? Yeah, let's be quite clear. If you have a COVID, yeah, if you have the illness, it's really bad. It's hitting you hard and so on. There's no not making fun of it. But there's also another side. It's the inspirational side. It's the see it as a kind of master. It reflects on you. Who are you? What do you want out of life? What means life to you? And is this, what I often said, life is a mystery to be lived and not a problem to be solved. Well, this is it. It's a mystery to be lived. And I started to make long walks and think about things and talk to people. And at a certain moment, it just popped into my mind, say, okay, Frank, one of your key assets is the fact that you are very good at interviewing people. So why are you not starting a podcast about entrepreneurs and starting to entrepreneurs, interview them, not about their video marketing, it's already done, but about a real original story. Why did they become an entrepreneur? Yeah. What drives them? What is their passion? What are the setbacks? What are the learnings? And what do they have as a kind of ideas or tips or feelings they can pass on to other people? Say, okay, this is what I learned. Maybe you have some benefit when you read this or do something like that. And maybe also quite well, working quite well for you. So I started a completely new adventure. I haven't done video marketing and haven't done video, making video portraits on YouTube. I've never done this. So it's a quiet adventure. It seems so easy just to say, oh, just open a YouTube account. It's done in half a day. Yes, it's done in half a day. But what's your target market? What will be your format? What does the competition do? But what do you want to do? And it all reflected on me. And doing this, among other things, actually, to a certain extent, you can say, I'm grateful for the teaching because it brought me back to one of the most essential things in my life, the realist who adjusts the sails. This is the story I want to share with you.
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you so much. Wow, beautiful. You know, I was thinking when we were preparing for this, what would be one word that I could use to sum up why we have these personal challenges or these bumps in the road that we feel we can't get over. And it was expectations. So when I think about all of the things we're dealing with, whenever a problem or a challenge pops up, it's really what we expected to happen that is not happening that throws us off. So we were away this weekend, and my son and my wife came home on Monday, and I was staying over to Tuesday to do some work. And on Monday night, so I'm getting ready to, like, you know, basically go to sleep Monday. Got a big day Tuesday. And my youngest son, who was home with my wife, calls me at like 10 o'clock at night. And he says, "Mom is not feeling well. She's dizzy and she's, you know, like on the floor crying. And, you know, she's got like, it's not like just a simple thing. She's like, you know, kind of disoriented, whatever." So I'm thinking, now I'm 2 hours away and it's late and there's no way I'm going to drive home. So we start talking. About 2 hours goes by where we're trying to work this thing out on the phone and we're deciding whether she should go to the hospital and whatever. And now I'm thinking, of course, in this day and age, he may not be able to ride in the ambulance if they come and get her, and the hospital. So he calls the hospital. They tell him they won't let him into the hospital if she has to be admitted. Unless she gets a room, then he can come later. So now here are the two of them, 2 hours away. It's midnight, so I definitely can't call anybody closer because I don't want to alarm them. So we're making the decision. You're either going to call 911 or we're going to work this out. And she ends up falling asleep about maybe 12:30. So I make the decision, all right, she's sleeping. Maybe she'll sleep for 2 hours. I wrap up what I'm doing. I get in the car. I never drive. Anyone who knows me, I never drive late at night, especially if I'm tired. And so I got in the car, but something kicked in me. And I was able to drive the 2 hours almost like on, I'll just say, emergency mode. Because I was going to protect my people. I was going to be there, whatever the situation. If she had to go to the hospital, I'd be home. I could in some way advocate. I know under the current rules, we just can't do what we used to do, which is go in the emergency room with someone, help them get admitted, whatever. But I thought, I'll be there for her and my son, and I can do more than I'm doing where I am now. Not to mention, I probably wouldn't have been able to sleep where I was anyway. So I had to leave and come back home. So what happened in my mind at that time was that some higher level of thinking kicked in, and it was not about, you know, what I was going to do the next day or what she was doing, but my expectations of that night, the sleep I was going to get, what I had to do the next day, I threw them out the window. I said, what I thought was going to happen Monday and Tuesday is not going to happen anymore. I'm not going to have those expectations, put them aside. So if you're listening and watching, think about your expectations. What are you expecting to happen today? And then when one of these challenges happens, your mom passes, your business dries up, your wife falls ill. When one of these things happens to you, what are you thinking should be happening and the expectations of that? And how is that affecting your stress level, your worry? You're kicking into a point where you can't be your most elevated self. So you can't even do what you would want to do in this situation. So hopefully, you know, some of the stuff we're going to share with you today about how we cope with this can really just support your higher purpose and your best self. I also got a text yesterday from a friend. I want to mention one more story. And she was having a major life issue. I mean, this was with one of her children, what have you, and it was a legal issue too with the school system. And there was a lot of stuff, a child that needs some special care. And she needed both someone to listen and a connection to a way to help solve this challenge. And I was able to provide both of those things. So I want to leave you with this. One person can make a difference in your life. So in this particular case, on Monday night, my son was that person, then I was the person. In Peter's family, he was that person. In Frank's world, he was that person, or maybe even some of the people he interviewed were those people. So connect and believe, and then even celebrate the things that we have available to us in our lives, because one person always makes a difference. Peter, back to you.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say. There's times you don't know what to do, and there's times that you know what to do, you just don't feel you have the inner resources you need, and both the answers you need and the inner resources you need are available to you. If you can just talk to that part of you that's in fear, that's in doubt, and say, let's just see what happens if we ask this question. You'll get the answer. And sometimes it'll be verbal. Sometimes it'll be a feeling of confidence or of peace. I don't know. Everyone's different. Turn inside. That's where the answers are.
Rick. Good stuff. Frank, what do you think?
Well, as a closing sentence, I would repeat my slogan. What you think about and think about, you bring about. Think about bad things, you don't think about bad things, and you don't bring about. Think about the good things. Think about what happens. The attitude, gratitude is the attitude, to put it that way. And it will happen into your life. Somehow, some way, Peter just said, I went inside, I felt my intuition worked in a way, in a wondrous way, and I started to think about this new line of business. And from that point in time, I stepped up to another step, another step, another step, another step, and so on. And then suddenly a new avenue of business and ideas opened up, and now I'm talking to you guys. I mean, everything is possible in life. What you think about and think about, you bring about.
Thank you, Frank. I'll close with three things I think can help. Don't go alone. Reach out to somebody, even one of us. Now, hopefully you are a regular listener or watcher of the Road Ahead Cafe, so reach out to one of us. You have all the tools inside. You just need some nudging. And talk with others. Sometimes that gives us grounding. Often that's all you need, is to talk to another person. Tell them what's happening. And then third, try helping someone else. My problems become less when I support friends. The other day, Frank gave me a surprise FaceTime call that made my day. Peter shared some ideas to help with the show script. We're all helping each other. Surprise someone today. Ask for help or give some help. Thanks for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.